This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hi, friends. This is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337. I'm coming at you March 18th. This is day three into remote working with my organization. Actually, this is a little bit longer for me because I have actually been really sick the last 2.5 weeks. No, I do not have coronavirus, but I had everything else but. I swear to you, daycares are really just fronts for biological weapons manufacturing, because every time I take my son to daycare and they said, oh, there's some kids with sniffles, I end up getting like the full-blown flu or pneumonia or God knows what else is growing in there. So I have actually been dealing with norovirus and flu. I'm just getting over pneumonia, and it's been a while since I recorded an episode. And now that a bunch of us are working remotely and telecommuting, I thought it would be a perfect time to talk about this very subject and how it's actually affecting people. And the good, the bad, the indifferent, the forced upon us. And wanted to share some of my own personal kind of viewpoints and things that I've observed in this time. So let's get into it. So like I said, today is the 18th of March. Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania has been giving almost daily updates on COVID-19 within the state of Pennsylvania. And I think all of us in the United States right now, well, I would say 90% of people in the United States right now are really kind of freaked out and really looking at all the news sources and trying to get as much information as possible. I myself am fairly healthy, 35-year-old male. I got a family, got a young kid, and I have some parents that are a little up there in age that have some health issues, so I'm trying to be very conscientious of my exposure and who I'm interacting with. So naturally, I've been kind of working downstairs in my office where I do this episode, and it's actually been pretty great. I haven't had any issues with loss of productivity or, you know, people kind of ghosting each other because, oh yeah, the internet, or I couldn't get on Slack, or I couldn't get on email, or anything like that. That's actually not been a problem. But it's been a little bit concerning because I've been at home now for almost 3 weeks, and like I said, being very sick lately, I've just been at home and I've been seeing the same four walls for the last couple of weeks. And the very few times I've actually tried to go into the office, very lovingly, my coworkers have said, dude, you look like shit, why don't you just go home? And chances are I probably gave people the flu at work, so sorry everyone. But now with everything going on with this pandemic, people are now working from home that have never had the opportunity before. Case in point, my wife, her organization is gone completely remote, and they're still trying to figure out how that works. How do they do their work remotely? And I follow a number of luminaries on Twitter, I'll call them that, that have been very helpful in sharing resources, sharing tips, tricks about how to work distributed, how to work 100% remote. Organizations like Envision and Zapier and Automattic have been sharing resources for companies to be able to work remotely effectively. And it's been really great, actually, to get these resources and see how organizations actually make this type of workflow work. Luckily, the organization that I work for in Pennsylvania, everyone is located centrally in central Pennsylvania. We don't have anyone out towards the Pittsburgh or Philadelphia areas at all. But to be able to work remotely, especially with what we do inside of the government space, is a little bit different, a little bit interesting for us. But the groundwork has been laid. Other organizations, even in the same space, do this and do this very effectively. So it's been interesting to be able to see how organizations who thought they never could go to a distributed model that could ever work effectively remotely are actually finding that it's not too terribly difficult to actually do. And it's been really interesting to see how organizations and different practitioners and leaders are really rethinking what is necessary to be effective at work. And this sounds great. I mean, there are so many people on Twitter, so many people on LinkedIn. I mean, anywhere, people are citing the work from home revolution. It's finally happening. And there are some real benefits to working from home. And many organizations have extolled these benefits for a very long time. There are remote working champions and evangelists that have really gone to different organizations, have gone to the different masses, and have shared what they have found to be the new way to work. But I don't 100% completely agree with this utopian vision of the future, because I think it's a little premature. Now, some of you who listen to my show might be thinking, oh crap, here we go. Here's someone who's still stuck in the past, who likes the office. Well, true, I do like the office to an extent, but one of the things that I have looked for in my career has been a remote position. I have not had a lot of luck getting into a completely remote team all throughout my career. I think my first exposure to a completely distributed team was automatic. Through the WordPress meetups and the WordCamps that I would go to, I would meet automaticians, and I was like, oh yeah, you live in the area, it's cool, well, where's your office? And I'm like, nah, I work from home, man. It's like, oh, how does that work? How do you like test things? How do you write code together and everything? And that was like 2012, and that completely blew my mind. Like, the only people I thought who worked from home were maybe in the tax field, like accounting or finance. I didn't think that you could do design work or, you know, actual development work or anything like that remotely. Over the years, I've been learning and studying how different organizations do this. And it's really interesting. Like, I see how Automattic does everything. They're a completely distributed company, 100% remote. Zapier is another one that I have followed for a long time. They have a completely distributed team. And even a little bit more locally within Pennsylvania, WebDev Studios is a development shop, WordPress company, that is completely distributed. And I see their effect. I see the work that they do daily. And hell, I use a lot of Zapier Zaps for some of the work that I do. And as a longtime aficionado and fan of WordPress, of course, I see how the company has grown over time with Automattic. But I always was attracted to the idea of working from home. And that stems back to my time in college when I had professors that were freelancers. They were small-time operators, sole proprietors, whatever you want to call them. They worked for themselves. They had home offices. They had clients that they worked with. They were the one-person ad agency or the one-person design shop. And that was always attractive to me, because the idea of controlling my day, not having to clock in and clock out, because prior to working in this field and having this career, I was a professional musician, sure, but I had a schedule to follow. And then before that, I worked at a convenience store. I worked at a Sheetz gas station where I had my shift. I had to clock in, clock out, and stand behind a register or make food for people every single day. And, you know, that sucked. And then when I started getting into this career as a designer and a developer and everything else in between, I was always in an office environment, especially early in the advertising agency realm that I worked, I worked in a good bit. So as I made my career back and forth between working in-house for a company or working for an ad agency, the one similarity was we always had an office. And remote was something that, you know, was saved if you were sick or, you know, you broke a leg or something like that. There was never an actual policy set up to be, you know, remote. And even when I had the opportunity to have a remote day, that I never took it because I didn't have kind of the infrastructure to support that. So now, a bunch of us, many of you probably listening to this episode, may be already working remotely and this is what you've done, or this is the first time now that you're getting to work from home or from, well, you may not be working in a shared office environment like a WeWork or a co-working space for the same reason as we don't have offices. You might be working remotely, and this is kind of new to you. I wanted to share some things that I've learned, some advantageous things that comes with working from home, and some things that are disadvantages, as I have learned over time through my research and talking with friends and colleagues who work remotely, and just some of the current psychology writings that are coming out from the American Psychological Association. So many companies in Pennsylvania are being urged that are non-essential to work from home, to be at home, whether it's working or whatever. And there is a lot of turmoil going on right now because a lot of companies that are not essential, that I would call not a white-collar job, is like your warehouses or local organizations that are not food-related but not technology-related, just other things. And they are finding themselves that they have no work to do, and they're laying off people. And some organizations are just looking, we're going to put you on a zero-hour schedule, we're not going to fire you, but we're also not going to give you any hours. So there's a lot going on here. So from the blue-collar perspective, it's kind of a pipe dream of working from home. Because if your actual job is in a place doing some things, like manufacturing or some sort of production, like you can't work from home. So this whole work-from-home revolution that I keep seeing posted online is kind of narrow in focus because not all the jobs can be done from home. So let's take all that into consideration. Let's think about the jobs that can be done remotely. So you have a lot of human resources that can be done remotely. You have, obviously, technology, coding, front-end development, you know, engineering, design work can be done remotely. You have a lot of the management position, that stuff can totally be remote. And you also have, you know, security, you have a multitude of different, what I would call are white-collar industries. If you can have it in an office environment, you can then have it remotely. So it's really interesting that what's happening now is that organizations who thought they could only do their work in an office are now finding that they can work remotely, but it's a bit of a shock to their system. Case in point, I've been learning from my wife that her organization was not really set up to have teleconferences, and they're figuring that out on the fly. And because the infrastructure wasn't there, the resources wasn't there to begin this from moving from an office environment one day to being remote the next day, they're learning how to use Skype for Business and other tools, and many of them have never used these things before, so they're struggling. And it could be an age, generational, like comfort level of technology, but some people are way more comfortable with using Skype or other tools like that, and others are just having a hard time turning it on, like getting the application to run. So that's something that I've noticed is a stumbling block, is that you cannot just expect your workforce to, oh, okay, everyone pack up, go home, don't interact with each other, and just do your work from home. Well, if you don't have the infrastructure, the communications, the workflow, everything to enable that work, then you're going to have a really hard time. If you can't get people to use Skype effectively to be able to have certain communication, that's kind of a problem. Let alone not even using tools like Slack or Microsoft Teams. So if you don't have those things set up, just going from working in an office to working at home, unless you are a sole practitioner, your work is not dependent upon anybody else, and you can just do your work and remote it in somehow, fine. But too often, the work that a lot of offices do or is interdependent on each other to work properly. Years ago, I worked at a startup incubator that was kind of like an in-house agency / like in-house design department. And what I mean by that was that we served about 17 different startups, all at different points in their startup journey. They were either early stage or they were later stage. And we ourselves, this incubator, was a startup as well. So my team and I actually served as the ad agency, the creative studio for all of the in-house startups, as well as we did all of our own design work for the incubator because we had our own products and services that we would embed with the other startups that we worked with. So it was an interesting hybrid. We had the ability to work remotely whenever we wanted, which was kind of like a great selling point to me. I'm like, oh, that's great, you know? I live in Carlisle, they're in Lancaster. If you don't understand how far away that is in central PA, that's about an hour and a half drive one way every day. So I was in the car for at least 3 hours a day, on a good day, if I didn't enter into traffic. So this was a perk. Work for remotely anytime you want. That's great. But if you had an in-person meeting, well, you couldn't work remotely on a day where you had an in-person meeting. If you were meeting with investors, meeting with some early-stage founders, you could not be remote. You had to be in to actually have the effective meeting because the expectation was that you were there to introduce yourself and show them what capabilities we had. So, okay, couldn't work remotely on those days. Oh, also, when we had product reviews and scrums, we weren't set up to do those remotely either. So that couldn't really do that. So the infrastructure, again, wasn't there. So while it was great, if you were a practitioner there, you didn't have to come in all the time. You could work remotely. Well, that was great. But if you were in a management role, that couldn't work. The other part of it, too, was that there was no set way to kind of depend on each other either. Very often, I had had a coworker of mine who would just be like, hey, I'm working remote today. I'm like, okay, did you look at your calendar to see that you're in this meeting that is an in-person meeting? Oh, no, well, I'm going to be remote today. And I'm like, no, you need to be in the office now because you didn't look at your calendar. Well, you can call me in. You can Slack me into it. And I'm like, we're not really set up for that. And it didn't work. So again, if you don't have the infrastructure to support a remote workforce, then you're going to have a bad time. Now, if you have thought about it and you are part of an organization that has thought about how to set that infrastructure up, there are some massive advantages to working remotely. For some people, these are the benefits. One, no commute. I hate traffic. I hate driving. And my wife says I am worse than most Jersey drivers with how much I pontificate and yell at other drivers. I absolutely hate traffic. I'm pretty sure that if anyone ever recorded me when I was driving on I-81 to Harrisburg, they'll think very different of me. But if you're working remotely and you work from home, all you got to do is roll out of bed, maybe get a shower, maybe get dressed, and just go to wherever your computer's at. For myself, I get up, get a shower, get dressed, come downstairs to my office. I'm lucky enough to have a separate office environment. This is where I do my episodes. And it's actually cleaned up down here to not be an extra storage area anymore. So it's a true office studio environment. One half of the room I've got my computer and all my technology set up. The other half I've got my bookshelves with my D&D books and my drum set. And I'm good to go. For a lot of people, that's great. There's no commute. There is no drive time. There's no waiting in traffic. There's no having to deal with accidents or road work or any sort of construction or bad weather. It is just go to where your computer's at. And that's a great benefit because if the infrastructure was there for that startup that I worked at, I wouldn't have to drive 3 hours a day. I could have just been home. Now, that also leads into another benefit. No commute. You can be a lot more effective with your time. Not every company that is remote has flexible hours. It seems to be part and parcel. A lot of companies do. But they also want you to be working at a certain time, the majority of the time where most of the employees are also working at the same time. You know, if you're working a couple hours difference, depending on the time zone that you live in. So for myself, my organization, we're working our normal time. We're all in the same time zone, our normal office hours, we're just at home. But for some companies, you know, you can work whenever it makes sense for you and make sure that you're checking in because they have the infrastructure set up. For me and for many other people, without having that commute, I can roll into my office with next to no time for commute and I can start working. I can start looking at my email. I can start getting my day set up. I find that getting up and coming downstairs at 6:45, 7 o'clock, and looking at my email, just getting ready for the day before everyone else starts to pop into Slack, and then, you know, all the meetings happen throughout the day, I'm way more effective. So that's the other benefit that people also extol and evangelize about working remotely, is that you can be a lot more effective because you have less distractions, less instances that's going to take away from your time to be productive. And this is one thing that many companies like to expound upon, is the productivity. And when I first thought about this, I thought, okay, you know, you're going to be working from home. You're not going to be as productive. You're going to have a TV on, you know, you're going to be taking an hour and a half long lunches because you can go upstairs and or go to your kitchen and cook, and, you know, it's going to be less productive. But as a Gallup poll from 2014 and another McKinsey report in 2016 have actually found through their surveys, was that working from home is actually a lot more productive and a lot more effective. Survey responses had said in the Gallup poll from 2014 that productivity had actually increased anywhere between 27 to 38% when they were working remotely, versus any time that they were working more in an office environment. The McKinsey report from 2015 also said the same thing. The numbers were a little bit different, but the same thing was that they had surveyed people and they asked them to kind of break down their day. And they found that the people that were working from home and that were working remotely actually had somewhere in the range of like 30 to 35% more time to be productive and getting things done because their day wasn't filled up with any sort of distractions or any sort of incidents that would, you know, cause their day to slow down their productivity or their velocity to slow down. So if you think about it, if you're working in an office environment, what slows you down? Okay, so you have that commute. You get in at whatever time. Say it's 8 o'clock. Say most days you're in at 8 o'clock. And then think about your routine every day in your office. For myself, I get in, I go and get my computer set up, let all that get running, and then I go get coffee. That takes anywhere between 2 to 3 minutes, 5 minutes. If I'm indecisive and I got a fine creamer, and then anywhere up to 15 minutes as I might be chatting with a coworker also doing the same thing. I get back to my desk. I start going through and getting my first part of the day set up. By the time I'm really effective, it's about 9 o'clock-ish, and then the meetings begin. And those meetings could all be either remotely through Zoom or something, so I can just stay in my office, or I have to actually go somewhere, whether it's over to the Capitol building, whether it's downtown Harrisburg, whether it's inside the office somewhere. So all that also takes time. And then I have lunch. And after being in the office and having so many meetings, I could go and grab lunch, go somewhere, but that gets a little expensive, especially if I'm getting like sushi or burritos and stuff. Like anywhere, that's between, on the low end, $12 to $20 a day just for lunch. And if lunch takes a while, I could say easily it's about an hour. if I am lucky and I go somewhere for a little bit, I can shovel food down my throat, and about half hour, I've taken lunch, and then I'm back to work. But that's not everybody's case. Then I have the entire afternoon of meetings and different work, people popping into my office unannounced. Hey, do you have 5 minutes? Okay. When someone says they want me for 5 minutes, that's going to take 15 minutes in all reality. When someone says, hey, do you got 15 minutes? I'm like, that's going to take an hour. So when you think about your day, with all the interactions and all the getting up and going to do the things, you are a lot less productive because you're in transit or you're interacting with folks. And when you think about how much actual work you're supposed to be getting done, think about your productivity. I think on a good day in the office, I am about 60-65% productive. That's a really good day. If I don't have a ton of meetings, I have, you know, work in front of me that I can get done. But when I have meetings and I'm also meeting impromptu or, you know, unscheduled with different team members, and I'm, you know, supporting other folks, sometimes my productivity tanks to like 10-15%. And that's all in how I measure it, really, because if I'm saying, oh, I'm helping other, you know, team members out, maybe that is part of my productivity. But at the same time, too, like, I have tasks I need to get done. So working remotely takes almost all of that out of the picture. There's no place to go to have a meeting. You fire up Zoom or your Slack call. You don't have to get up and go anywhere. Also, you don't have to go anywhere for lunch either. Now, you can, and a lot of people do, just to get out and have some interactions with people. But right now, not a lot of people are doing that. So that's the other benefit, too, is that it saves you money. If you're not spending money on commuting and filling up your car or, you know, buying transit passes or anything like that, then you're saving funds. The other thing is, too, is that if you are working from home and you like to cook, whether it's just making Hot Pockets or, you know, you actually are in kind of invested in making a healthy lunch for yourself, you're also saving money there because you're not going out to eat. You're not having to pack a separate lunch and bring all this stuff in. If you're like me, you make a big thing up on a crock pot on a Sunday and you have a couple days worth of lunches afterwards. So there's some real financial benefits also to working from home because you're not having to shell out any sort of cash to go to your job or do these things. And then lastly, the other benefit is that, you know, life happens. When you're at the office, you have to abide by the office rules and etiquette and, you know, basically butts in seats kind of a mentality. Not every organization is like that, but it's still kind of the view a lot of organizations have where if you're in the office, you're supposed to be working. Well, how do you then plan for doctor's visits? How do you then plan for having service providers come to your house? I had a painter come out and do an estimate one time when I was working from home, come out during my lunch, 10, 15 minutes, he was in and out, and that was fine. And because I was working remotely that day, I was able to accommodate the painter's schedule. So if you are working from home all the time, you can also set up your schedule so that you can accommodate these other tasks without having to get back into your car, drive, take PTO, do all these different things. You have the flexibility and the freedom to make your schedule how you want it. If you know what time is your most optimal time for being productive and your organization has certain expectations that are clearly communicated to you about time to work, when to work, and everything, you can then do a lot because then you don't have to get back into your car and then go somewhere. So these are some of the major advantages to working remotely is that it's cost effective. It's way easier on your life to be able to plan accordingly. The other benefit to it is if you are very conscientious, which I hopefully you are, about the environment, how many times are you in your car driving to go to your office versus not? Think about all the pollutants that you're not putting into the atmosphere. Think about all of that side of things of working from home can be, you know, a climate benefit. Having that as another benefit, working from home can help save the planet. It's kind of idealistic and it's kind of cool and it's true. If you really think about how many jobs could be remote, that could offset some major issues with our climate right now. These are just some of the benefits that I have seen, I have observed, I have benefited from, that I have taken advantage of at the different organizations I've worked at when we've had remote days. And we have somewhat of a infrastructure that allows this. Currently, my organization that lets us do one remote day. I worked at Pennsylvania Academy of Family Physicians. We had one remote day. And a couple other places I worked at, like the Startup Incubator, had a remote policy as well. So this hybrid model is like some organizations dipping their toes into it and trying out. Around that same time as these organizations were trying to see how remote work could actually work, the in-office movement was experimenting with a new idea, open floor plans. And startups were definitely the main offenders of this, I would say, because that's the first place I've actually seen an open floor plan, was big room, lots of big desks, tables and stuff, and everyone working next to each other. And I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, thinking, this is great. We can all work together, collaborate, be creative and everything. And it just turned into like, man, fuck you. I don't want to listen to your crappy music. Have some headphones. Why do you smell? Oh, is that you or your food? Why are you man-spreading all over this table? Please clean up your desk. It looks atrocious and it smells. And I'm pretty sure that that chocolate bar is growing some sort of bacterial infection. It was shit. And the open office floor plan was really starting to become the true death knell of the office environment. Why would you subject yourself to that kind of working environment when you could work from home? So slowly, the industry started to move away from that. There's still some managers and still some organizations who think the open office floor plan is the best thing on the planet, but they're high. I mean, they are just not really with how people work. From a psychological perspective, it doesn't work. It's kind of like cattle pens to have people working within. So why would you not want to work from home? I mean, all those benefits I just, you know, went over really are awesome. I mean, they are great. And if your personality type is one that is, you know, very heads down, very stable, likes to get into the details, the nitty-gritty of things, working from home offers you the opportunity to work in a focused manner that is not always possible in an office environment. Now, some of the things that I would suggest and some of the things that I've observed and would defend the office environment is that working from home can be incredibly freeing from a financial perspective, from a planning perspective, but it can also lead to being very lonely and slowly degrading some of your social graces and niceties. I say this because my wife has worked remotely almost all of her career. And this was something that she had to kind of relearn when she went back into the office environment. So I would come home and my wife had been working all day. She'd be working from the, you know, the confines of our recliner upstairs. And she would have the TV on and, you know, it was background kind of sound and everything. And I used to kind of rag her. I'm like, yeah, you're really getting a lot of work done. But then when I really thought about it, she had TV on. The voices from the TV was a way to give her some sort of like break from the silence. And for me, I would be listening to music all day long. And she enjoyed hearing people talking. Even if it was at a low volume, it gave her this sense that there were people around. And for about 2.5 years, when she worked remotely and she worked from the living room recliner, she loved the freedom. and the start times and being able to do things. This was before we had our son, so she had that freedom, but she was also incredibly lonely and was kind of starved for attention. So whenever I would come home, she would be all over me to ask me like how my day was, wanted to chat with me, go. And for myself, being at an office environment and dealing with people all day, good and bad interactions, the last thing I wanted to do was to have conversations as soon as I got home. I just wanted to kind of like, you know, tune out. So this was something that my wife was sharing with me, was that when she was moving back into an office environment, and she was looking actually for an in-office environment to go back to, because she was incredibly lonely. She didn't have really any interactions with people, and the interactions that she did have were faceless. I mean, her organization did not have video calls and conferences, mostly due to the nature of their work and HIPAA privacy. So they would use Slack, or I think they even used AIM, like AOL Messenger, because they weren't set up with Slack. So they used different digital tools, and they would text each other. Her coworkers would text each other, and they would get together maybe once, twice a year in person to build some camaraderie, get together and interact and really collaborate with each other. And that is the time that my wife really looked forward to with work, was these meetups and these company conferences. It was that she finally got to sit down and spend some quality FaceTime with her coworkers. And she would tell me that the most collaborative, most creative, most problem-solving times for her work was when they all got together in person. And I actually, you know, really sat down and asked her, like, well, what about using these different tools? She's like, yeah, they're great for facilitation, but actually being in a room together and kind of feeding off of each other's ideas and bouncing things back and forth to each other, we just seem to be a lot more in sync with each other and just way more productive. So I thought that was really interesting, was that that human interaction is something that truly is kind of satiated in the workplace environment, in a office environment. Because normally when you think about being in an office, you're thinking about, oh my God, I just don't want to be in all these meetings. I don't want to have this person. Please don't come over to my desk and talk to me. But if you really think about it, you're also having those moments of camaraderie and, you know, collaboration with some of your other employees, you know, some of your other colleagues that you do get along with, and you look forward to those. So working in an office environment, when it is set up well, just like the infrastructure for working remotely, if you have a good office culture and a good way to enforce and build upon and expand that culture, working in an office environment can be just as satisfying. Now, your trade-offs will be, you might have a commute. You might not have a kitchen environment to have lunch. You may have to go out for lunch or have to pack or whatever. But some of the benefits that you also gain from being in a actual office environment are more mental, more cerebral. You're going to have those needs being met of actually interacting with real people instead of just digitally. The other thing that I also learned, and this was interesting from the American Psychological Association, was their study that they did last year on working remotely and the future of distributed work, was that for some people and for some organizations and some work, working remotely is great at different times, and working together is great at different times. So there's no one way to actually work. There's no one environment that is super prime over another. But what I also found that was interesting was that collaboration, creativity was actually enhanced working side by side with real people versus digitally. And through their surveys and through their research, they found that teams that were co-located together, that were in an office environment provided and produced more creative work, more creative output than those that were working remotely. Their study included 3,000 individuals, a number of different organizations across different sectors and industries. And that was a common thread from all of those disparate sources, is that the camaraderie and the collaboration provided more creative solutions and more creative output than those that were working remotely. Now, is this all meant to say working in an office is better, working remotely is better? No, it's not. It's meant to bring to light that there is no one best way to work. And you have to be very honest with yourself of what needs you need to have met when you're working. For years, I have always wanted to work for a purely distributed team. Why? I love the romantic idea, the romantic notion. I can be effective working remotely. And not having a commute and having to swear at every single driver on the road would be such a great boon to my own mental health throughout the day. But if I'm completely honest with you, is that I would miss the interaction. I would miss the interaction. Not all the time. I'm not a total chatty Cathy on every single thing. Though if you talk to my colleagues at work, I am very talkative. But the thing is that I like building real, true relationships with people in person. I find that more comfortable. And I then can have much more effective collaborative sessions with those folks when we're coming up with ideas, whether it is what kind of snacks we want to have in the office and what kind of interesting, you know, kind of fun office activities can we do together, to how do we help solve a problem for citizens using these services, or how do we build something that's going to be usable for this audience. So for me, it's a blend. And maybe there's an organization that in the future, if I ever decide to move on and go to a completely 100% distributed team, maybe I will find something that's like, you know, Zapier or Automattic, where they have these grand meetups and more frequent in-person get-togethers so that you can actually spend some real time face-to-face with your colleagues. And that way, that bolsters your remote working interactions that you have with them. So it's interesting. I'm not really sure what the future is going to bring with this, but I think for many Americans right now that are going through this, that are staying home for the next 2 weeks and are learning how to be successful as a remote worker, I think that for a lot of people, this is going to shine some light on truly what their own needs are. I already miss my colleagues. Like I said, I've been sick for a number of weeks. It's been a while since I did an episode. And I've been at home and I've seen the same four walls. I've seen my wife and my son and my dog every single day. And I'm starting to go a little stir crazy. And I'm sure they would like to see me not be here all damn day as well. But it's interesting is that I'm super effective. And my team, working together, been super effective. We've been fantastically supporting our clients, our stakeholders throughout all their stuff. And I know a number of other organizations are doing that as well. And a number of organizations, this is an old hat to them. Like, they've been doing this since day one. So it's definitely possible. But I also think that you have to consider some of the other needs that you would have to be effective, and some of the other different ways that you can work with people that actually brings a positive light to your work. So, with all of that, I am going to sign off because it has been a long-ass day. I have actually been at work for 10 straight hours, and I've had one half-hour break to put my son down for a nap for a little bit. So, sure, I've been super effective and productive today at work. But I wanted to get this episode out because I wanted to share it with you for everyone who is working remotely and everyone who is looking into seeing how this can be something sustainable after the COVID-19 scare that is going on, you know, right now. I want organizations to think about it. And maybe there is a blended approach that for organizations, it's advantageous from a financial perspective and advantageous for their employees. Also, for employees and people who are working for organizations, what do you really need to be successful at work? Do you need to have, you know, the great office environment like Google? Or do you need to have the more meaningful interactions with people? Do you need to have the setup that you can do to be effective at home and in an office? Or do you much rather prefer one to the other? I'm not really sure what the answer is, and I'm still learning this myself, and I'm still learning from people who are working remotely. And this is something that is like part of their lives. So let's have a conversation. Let's remote work, hashtag remote work. And let's see what you guys think about. You know, what has been your experience so far? Whether you have always been a remote worker and, you know, sharing some of the tips and tricks and techniques that you have to help you be effective working from home. Or if this is the first time you've ever done it and you're starting into this foray and learning the things that you need or what tools that you need to be more effective. And for those of you who are still working completely in an office, you know, what is it that you prefer or like with one or the other different environments that you may not have experienced yet? With all that, I will leave you. Hopefully everyone is staying healthy and practicing the correct procedures for social distancing, washing your hands, don't touch your face, all that jazz. I want everyone to take this time to be thankful and look out for each other and try to help each other out through this very difficult phase of our lives right now. So take care of each other and talk to you soon.